I'm going to read to you from a couple of verses. These are verses that really show exactly what was happening when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. And we looked at these a little bit yesterday, but I'm going to look at them again. This is from the New King James Bible. It's John 12, verses 12 through 13, and Luke 19, verses 36 through 40. John 12 says, "The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" So we see the praises, and you get that picture of Jesus as he's riding in, entering into Jerusalem, entering into that final great work that he's about to do, the greatest work of all of human events. I mean, this is the pivotal moment that he's heading towards. Here's God in the flesh, about to become the sacrifice for his creation. He's entering into Jerusalem, and here is the voices of all these people, just lifted up, all these multitudes lifted up, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We get another view of that from Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 36, it says, "And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered them and he said, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones themselves would immediately cry out.'" You know, one of the things I was looking at yesterday was the truth of the matter is, when you look at the time of Jesus Christ coming into this world, when Jesus became flesh, when he came into this world and became flesh, you can look and see that he was ushered in with these praises, because there was praises that were spoken to his name. And you can go back and just look in Matthew and in Luke, in both of those stories. You know, Luke gives us the example of the angels as they're there. And, you know, here is heaven. Here is God himself becoming flesh. And here's these angels and all the multitude of heaven, it says, out there on those fields, out there with the shepherds, and just praising and glorifying the name of Jesus, lifting up Jesus. And even the Magi, when they eventually came, when the Magi got there, the Magi also spoke words that were words of praise and words glorifying Jesus Christ. So there was words of praise and words of glory that ushered Jesus in to this world. And the amazing thing is, when you look at the verses that we just read from John chapter 12 and Luke number 19, here's Jesus about to enter into Jerusalem. So he's coming to that culmination of his entire life. He's coming to that culmination of what he was here for in the flesh, of why he came to this world. It's all culminating here as he's entering into Jerusalem to make his way towards that cross and be the sacrifice and overcome sin and death and take all of the sins of mankind with him to the cross. So he's coming to the culmination of his time here on earth, his time in this flesh. And as he's entering into the city in the same way, there was praises that ushered him into this world, there's also praises of the multitude, praises of the people. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the, and I don't take time to do it today, but sometimes just look at the praises that were ushering Jesus into the world. Look at the praises, the things that were spoken by the angels as they spoke Jesus, as they proclaimed Jesus, as the multitudes of heaven were there. Look at the words that were spoken to the shepherds. And then look at the words at the Magi that they spoke to that young mother and father, to Mary and Joseph. Look at the words that they shared. The amazing thing is, when you compare those words of praise that ushered Jesus into this world, and you compare those words to the words of the multitudes that are here ushering Jesus into Jerusalem, you see there's a lot of similarity in those words. I mean, you can hear similarities in, it's just amazing, some of those direct similarity of the words as he was ushered into the world, and he's ushered into Jerusalem. But then Jesus himself makes this comment. I love that comment when here the Pharisees are saying, you know what, stop this, Jesus. Don't let your disciples, don't let these people, don't let them say, don't let them speak, don't let them lift you up, and don't let them say that you are God. They're calling you God. They're lifting you up. Essentially, they're saying, don't let them call you Messiah. Make them stop. Verse number 39 of Luke 19 says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. So he's not even just saying stop. He's saying rebuke your disciples. Tell them they're wrong to do that. Jesus' response, he said, I tell you that if those should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. One of the amazing things when you look at a moment like this, you look at a moment when Jesus, when God becomes flesh, when he comes into this world, and such a great and glorious moment that is, such an amazing and astounding thing. You know, we take it for granted because we talk about it every year. But when you stop and think about it, God, the creator of all things, seeing the need that man has, and knowing the hopeless situation that man is in, and yet still having such great love for man that God himself becomes flesh. You know, when God became flesh, that is such an amazing, astounding moment that there had to be praise. It's not even an option. There had to be praise. And that's why you see the multitudes of heaven. And it's not just the angels, but it said that all the multitude of the heavenlies are there praising and glorifying Jesus Christ. There had to be praise. And here's Jesus now, heading to that culmination of his life, this culmination of this time here in the flesh. And as he's entering into Jerusalem, we see that same praise. And then when the Pharisees, those religious leaders are there, and they're saying, rebuke your disciples because they should not be saying these things. Jesus' comment was, you know what? If the voices of men won't cry out, if the voices of men won't praise and say words of praise, if man won't speak those things, then creation itself will. He said, if the voices of man are shut up, then even the rocks, in other words, even creation itself, there will be praise. Because this is a glorious time. This is an astounding moment in human events. There will be praise. It's not even an option. There just has to be praise at a moment like this. Now you stop and think about just creation itself. And you think about, you know, the opportunity, what's taking place here. It's just an opportunity for praise, but there had to be praise. But you know what? Man had to praise. If man didn't praise, then creation itself would have praised God. So you see these people that are just celebrating Jesus, waving those palm branches and laying them down before him. You know, when we think about Palm Sunday, as we think about heading towards Easter, when you think about those things, it should remind us of the importance of praise. Because here again, for Jesus as he's entering, and there had to be praise. It's not an option. There had to be praise. If the voices of man wouldn't do it, Jesus said creation itself would cry out and praise him. When we think about yesterday being Palm Sunday, and we think about what's coming up, we think about Easter. And again, it's one of those things that we think about every year. But forget just some of the thoughts you've had. Forget about just going through the traditions and going through the same things. Just think about what actually happened. Think about God himself becoming flesh and God himself becoming the sacrifice and the things that he went through. And as you think about those things, Palm Sunday yesterday was a good day to remind us of the importance of praising God, the importance of every day praising God. Sometimes we get the attitude, and I think it's all too easy and perhaps prevalent for us in the body of Christ to have the attitude that says, you know what, we had that 15, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever it is, that we do praise and worship on Sunday morning, so that was my praise and worship. Well, the reality is, we're supposed to be beings that should be praising Jesus all the time. There should always be praise. Palm Sunday should be our reminder to you and I of the importance of praising the name of Jesus, not just on Sundays, but every single day of our life. And the challenge should be that there should be not an hour going by. I mean, every hour of our life and our existence, there should be an acknowledgement of the goodness of Jesus Christ. There should be praise, praiseworthy things coming out of our lips. Coming from our very lips, there should be those praiseworthy things. Every day, our lives throughout our day should be an example of praise to him. That's not the way that we think, though. And it's not the way that we're taught. The Palm Sunday should be the good reminder for us of the importance of praising Jesus Christ. When he entered into Jerusalem, there was not an option. There had to be praise. This is the monumental time and the monumental events that are taking place for all of mankind before Jesus and every person since then. It's changed and affected by it. He is worthy of praise. You know, the Bible tells us, we see it here, Jesus said it himself, hey, listen, if the voices of men won't be singing praises, if the voices of men won't be lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, if the voices of men are not going to praise God, then creation itself will. And all creation, the Bible shows us this, We won't have a chance today, but if you look at Psalm 148, there's a lot of psalms you can look at that talk about praise. But Psalm 148 is just a beautiful, it's an awesome, awesome psalm that is just talking about all creation praising God. All creation does praise God. Sometimes we walk past creation and our eyes and our hearts are so hard, we don't stop to see it. But everything in creation does praise the name of Jesus Christ. I was telling our congregation yesterday that on Saturday, Don and I were walking back, and you know, here this little crocus, we were walking, we walked uptown and we walked back to our house, and here in our yard, this little crocus had come up. And you know, it's just amazing to me because you look at that little crocus, that little blossom from the crocus, and that is the crocus. That's the crocus is praising Jesus Christ. It's creation praising who he is, everything about. And if you would look at it in even more detail, anything in this world, anything in this physical world, if you look at it and you really look at it through the eyes of Jesus Christ, not through the eyes of just simply science, although sometimes if you look at science through the eyes of the Word of God, you see his hand, you see his glory. But all of creation, if you look at it, all creation points back to Jesus Christ. All creation praises him. And so this little crocus, when that blossom comes up, that blossom popping up out of the ground after being dead and dormant in the soil for months and months of winter. Boom, here's life. That little crocus blossom is evidence. That is crocus praising Jesus Christ, giving evidence of that life where there was death before. It's speaking to Jesus. Everything in creation talks to us and praises Jesus. All creation praises him, and so should we. When you look at creation and you go through the creation story, you can see that, of course, God spoke everything into existence. And you can look at creation and you can see that creation mounts up to the highest form of God's creation. And what is the highest form of God's creation? It's you and I. So all of creation, and perhaps we'll look at this on Wednesday, but all of creation, according clearly to Psalm 140, all of creation is praising the name of Jesus. It always does, every day of every moment. And yet the highest part of creation, go back and look at the creation story, we're the highest point of his creation. All of creation praises him. And yet you and I, which are the highest form, the highest creation that he's made, you and I tend to be reluctant to praise him. You and I have the tendency to think that, well, I praised him on Sunday when we sang those songs of praise and worship, so that should be enough. All the rest of creation is praising the name of Jesus Christ every moment of every day. And yet we, the highest form of creation, we even get indignant. We think, well, praise him every day? Earlier you said praise him every hour. Well, that's just ridiculous. Well, that's the way we've been taught. But the reality is, all of creation is praising him, and we're his highest form of creation. We should be joining all of creation and praising him continually. There should always be praise coming out of our mouths. And you know what? If there was praise coming out of my mouth all the time, if there was continual praise coming out of my mouth, my life would be a whole lot better. If I was praising God every hour, there'd be changes in my life. I would start to see some of the things that I'm praising him for actually come to pass in my life. If I was praising him every hour, if I was praising him on an ongoing basis, if there was continual praise coming out of my mouth every day, every hour, pouring out of my mouth, I would start to see the evidence of those promises of God, those things I'm praising him for, actually taking place, coming to pass, being manifested in my life. I think a lot of times we get frustrated because we don't see the things of God in our life. But my question is, are we ever praising God? Are we ever thankful? Are we ever expressing those words of thankfulness? Those words of praise will make a difference and an impact in our physical, natural lives here on this earth. In fact, I would suggest to you that when we're praising God, when we're praising him, we're actually bringing, by praising him, we're actually bringing the kingdom of God here into this natural world. If you're not seeing a lot of the kingdom of God in your life, then probably there's not enough praise coming from your lips. There's not enough of that fruit of praise, as Hebrews talks about. We are the highest and the greatest form of his creation, and all creation praises him except for his highest form is reluctant. If you look back at creation, again, go back to creation. You can look at all of creation. And in all of creation, there's only one part of creation that he gave the ability to speak to. And we talked about this a number of weeks ago, but it's one of those things that we tend to take for granted because, you know, we've man has always spoken. Man has always talked. It's just part of what we accept. But you can look at creation and God didn't give that gift of speech, that gift of speaking to anyone else. He gave it only to mankind. Why? Because mankind was the only part of creation that was created in his image. And when you look at what God did, God spoke in creation. He spoke everything into existence. He spoke it into existence. And then he gave man, the highest form of his creation, he gave man, who was created in his image. Because he was created in his image, man is also given that ability to speak and to form words and to communicate and to speak with power because there's power in the spoken word. So all of creation praises God. Continually, all the time. Except for his highest creation. His highest creation, mankind, is the only one that's reluctant. And we, you and I, men and women, his creation, created in his image. Those of us who are created in his image with that ability to speak those words of praise are the ones that are most reticent to praise. That not ought not to be. You know what? If we would focus on praising him, if we would have more praise, if we would adopt that mentality and that thought process of praising him every day, speaking words of praise, and every hour having praiseful things come out of our lips, we would see changes. You know why? Because we would then be lining up. We'd be lining up with his creation because all the rest of his creation is praising him. You and I should join in that huge chorus. You and I should join our voice because none of the rest of the creation can put voice to it. God needs us. He wants us because it's to our benefit. And it advances his kingdom. In the same way, when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, there had to be praise. Not an option. There had to be praise. If man didn't do it, if the voices of men wouldn't do it, then the very creation itself, the rocks themselves, would cry out in praise. Don't leave it to the rest of the creation because you and I are the only ones created in his image and given the voice to speak words of power. Don't let the rest of creation do it. Let's lift our voices up and praise him today.